For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL. Some of you have seen me on Instagram. And some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcast.
What do we got, Motor Raider?
Oh, this week we're going to talk a little bit about SEMA, what was going on over there. And then we're going to check in with our friend Jeff O'Neill about the Velocity Invitational, a cool, cool new event that he's putting on at the track.
First, we'll tell you about Live by Live, events, music, podcasts, comedy, all on one app, Live by Live. You can check out Live by Live, the app at livebylive.com. For the latest podcast news, personalized music stations curated by actual human beings. And you can watch a lot of major music festivals and comedy events and sporting events, exclusive concerts, all for just $3.99 a month. So Live by Live, you can try Live by Live today with a free 7-day trial at livexlive.com/carcast. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. A choice for the get on. A minute, get it on. And welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Kroll. It's Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. Back from his triumphant appearance at SEMA. I'm back from the Simeon Museum just outside of Philly. Went over there to hang out with Willie T and the good doctor. And Jeff O'Neill is going to join us. We'll talk about the Velocity Invitational. We'll give you the nuts and the bolts of that coming up at Laguna Seca this weekend.
Yeah.
All right. So, and you're driving the new Mustang Mach-E.
I mean, I just started driving it, so I'll have more about it. But so far, I like it. It's not the GT version. It's not the performance version, but it is the all-wheel drive with the extended range battery. And it seems easy. It seems nice. Seems quiet. Does what it's supposed to do.
What do you think the range is?
When they delivered it, it said like 230, and I think it was about 95%, and I think maybe it changes a little based on driving habits, but we know the Mustang Mach-E's range from somewhere around 230 to 300, so I think I have like a 250.
Yeah, I got the adapter for the Tesla plug-in cord that's in my garage to plug into my Lincoln. It goes quite a bit faster. It's a little wanky, not the adapter. The adapter, for those of you who are, you know, your wife drives a Tesla and you drive something else, it's a pigtail, I think we would call them in the construction business. The adapter's, it's about 16, 18 inches long. It snaps on pretty easily and then adapts and snaps onto the vehicle. It works. It charges faster. The whole kind of the electric thing as far as the Lincoln goes is it's a little catch-as-catch-can. Sometimes you plug it in overnight and you leave it for 18 hours or something, and you get on and it says 21 miles. And this morning I got on, it said 27 miles. It's never had that kind of range. It usually hangs out about 18 or 19 or something like that. The the non-240, you know, just the household current 110, that's pretty slow. Kind of seems like even if you leave it, you know, for 24 hours, you still don't get much over 19 or 20. It would be awesome if you could get to 40 or 50 and then just kind of use it. It doesn't.
I don't think the Lincoln has that much range on EV only.
No. And that was kind of my beef with a lot of the plug-in hybrid, you know, gas powered, whatever, which is like, get the EV to 35 or something, you know. 17 doesn't really do you that much. And then also it'll say like 22 miles and then you'll get up the street and it'll be at 14 miles, you know. And it's like,
well, that's the part that
there's
drives
a
me
lot
nuts.
Of that which is it's not an exact science, but if you say 22 miles and I've driven four blocks and it's now at 16 miles, that doesn't seem like it's calculating it right.
What's interesting is our friends at Edmunds do a lot of testing on the pure EVs, and the Mustang Mach-E and I think the Porsche Taycan both came in. The numbers were conservative. They were beating the numbers by respectable margin in those cars. Whereas I think Tesla was about spot on. Tesla was actually maybe even a little negative. So I don't know what the total – I can tell you that – I don't know. I think it's like 30 miles for me to drive here.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting in traffic for an hour this morning and on its way, I don't think it knocked 30 miles off of the range. So it did it like a little better or somehow conserve power, or maybe it was just cooler out. Like who knows what with the
– yeah.
You know, flat ground, you know, for the most part, low speed.
I think this is an accurate statement, but I'm not – totally sure. It's basically, it's like this. At least it seems with the Lincoln. If you fill up your tank with fuel and you get 400 miles worth of range, but you plug it in every night when you get home, as I do pretty dutifully, I feel like you can take that range of 400 miles, which may last you for a week, and you can stretch it out to like 10 days or 11 days. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a tank extender.
That's what it is. They're saying, hey, if we get you 25 miles of EV range, they're saying blend that into the total range because it's hybrid. It'll go a little on and off a little bit. It'll go EV just a little bit here and a little bit there. And it's it just adds to the total range.
You basically, if you plug it in every night, instead of filling up once a week, you fill up once every 10 or 11 days. Yeah. And that's something.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm sure they'll argue other things like, because of that, it's more cost efficient. And because of that, it's cleaner overall because it keeps shutting down the gas engine. So, I'm sure there's lots of things that they're taking. By the way, mentioning EV, that was kind of a theme at SEMA, was more EV conversions, you know, Porsches and Broncos and all kinds of stuff. You know, 2 years ago at SEMA, there wasn't really a SEMA last year. 2 years ago, there was, I don't know, three cars and one or two companies developing some sort of EV product, like an electric motor or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now there must have been 10 or 15 EV cars converted and, you know, a half a dozen or so companies making various parts. But the big move was both Ford and GM have stepped into that market. Ford announced their Illuminator engine. Their crate engines are Illuminator engines. The Illuminator engine is the electric motor out of the Mach-E as a crate motor. Now, you still have to do some power packs and get an inverter and batteries, but it's 281 horsepower. It's the size of a manual transmission, a Tremec transmission without a bell housing on it. Weighs 205 pounds, and it's a good little EV motor. And they're saying, yeah, you know, they had like a F100, like a 78 F100, all-wheel drive, two electric motors, 500 horsepower, all electric. That was what SEMA built. Yeah, that's what Ford built for their.
Building electric crate motors for conversions?
For hot rod builders that are a little more creative. There's not really – there's still several steps away from making it easy for the garage builder.
How do the battery packs work?
So they don't offer a battery pack. You got to go to a third-party company and figure out battery packs and an inverter and so, some of the wiring. So it's still a few steps away.
So let's just say we take one of my 510s.
Yeah.
And we pull the motor out.
Yeah.
Or the engine out. Now we have to make a distinction. That's,
I've been saying crate engine for gas engines and crate motor for electric motors.
Right. So we'll pull the engine out.
Yes.
And then we take the crate motor.
Yes.
And we bolt it right up to the bell housing?
No. So there are a couple of companies there that have an electric motor with gear reductions and adapter plates that could allow that. The Ford motor is set up sort of transverse, so it would be a front-wheel drive car, or you put the motor in the back for a rear-wheel drive car. That's the current configuration. It doesn't mean there's not going to be some adapter to make this happen later, but that's currently how it is.
Well, it seems to me that if we're talking about converting an old Porsche or a pickup truck or a 510, you'd want that bell housing adapter because you'd want to use the transmission, the differential, you know.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of surgery, just sticking with the 510 theme, seems like a lot of surgery to mount that thing in the rear and get it to power.
Right. So
what
that,
would you do with the diff and the independent? And
There was a Porsche there that had an EV conversion. It was a little bit easier because
what
the
year
motors
was the Porsche?
I don't.
Well,
I don't
you can
remember.
Say eight, late, early.
Yeah, but like 80s.
Okay.
So that one was a little different. That was a little bit easier. But I did see – this is one of the things I talked to Ford about when I interviewed Ford Performance. I said, hey, you got this motor. What do you think about offering parts for this? Like you're saying, like a bell housing and a gear reduction to make this thing instead of a 10 or 15 or 20,000 RPM electric motor, keep it in that 0 to 8,000 RPM range, being able to hook it up to a transmission and offer, I don't know, like a K member or motor mounts. Like is there, you know, bungs or something or mounting, you know, platforms, little plates or whatever, so you can do motor mounts. And he's like, yeah, the aftermarket is what he was saying. He's like, so they're not quite there yet, but they're hoping the aftermarket's going to say, hey, we've got, you know, an early Mustang EV swap kit. It uses the Ford electric motor, and then we made the rest. I did see a cool piece where it was a cool, like, billet gear reduction thing. You take a Tesla motor, which spins at a crazy amount of RPM, and it literally put it in that 8,000 RPM range. So now it feels like a regular engine, but it is a electric motor. And so now it's easier to configure it in a way, like you're saying, like, can we put that in the front of the car, have it go to a drive shaft to the rear of the car and shift it or something, or at least spin it up to that 8,000 range.
How, and then how much battery are we talking about? I mean,
so
where do you
put it?
That's
the thing is I asked for, I was like, why not make a small modular battery, you know, whatever, a 1-foot by 2-foot battery, and then allow people to daisy chain them so you can stick them all over the car, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're building, you know, a pickup truck or something, you can, where the fuel tanks were, where the spare tire was, maybe a little bit in the bed of the truck behind the cab for center of gravity.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing a, you know, a 69 Camaro, you put some in, I don't know, you put some in the trunk. You try to put some down low, maybe underneath the back seat or remove the back seat. If the electric motor isn't taking a lot of room, maybe you can put another battery or two small ones under the hood area. Like, not only are you trying to fit them in, but you're trying to fit them as close to the center and as low as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there was a company doing early Broncos as an EV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you're higher up and you build a bespoke chassis, you know, you've got more room sort of in that ladder frame chassis to
yeah.
But you don't need a transmission tunnel. You don't need an exhaust system. You don't need fuel tanks. So if you remove all of that stuff, it gives you more room for battery. But I haven't seen anybody do like, you know, like a 12 by 12 or a 12 by 24 by 6-inch high or 8-inch high, like sort of battery, but also the wiring, the inverter. There's a few components.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing we're not quite there yet, but soon.
Look, like I said, there was about 10 or 15 converted vehicles and maybe a half a dozen companies getting into it. Next year, there's going to be double that.
Yeah. Soon, one will be able to take one of your Mustangs or one of my Datsuns and bolt in a motor where the engine used to be and then mm-hmm. have sort of modular battery system that didn't take, getting out a cutting wheel and, doing that kind of stuff. I mean, it'll be there. We're just not quite there yet. All right, let me tell you about Trico. Over a century ago, Trico was the first to make wiper blades, and they've been a step ahead of Mother Nature ever since. Trico engineers study your specific driving conditions to make sure you're ready for anything, even if it rains, actual cats and dogs, although my dog Phil landed on your car. The mighty Trico blades couldn't remove Phil. Whatever the weather, Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact. No matter what your driving habits, you'll always find the right wiper blade for your vehicle. Trico, well, that's the future of wipers, and they've been around since 1917. So if you want to find a store near you and get the latest offers, you go to TricoCatsAndDogs.com. That is Trico, T-R-I-C-O, CatsAndDogs.com. I went to the Simeon Foundation Museum. It's a good-sized place. It's outside of Philly. It was about a 20-25 minute Uber ride just from right the center of Philly. Mm-hmm. Kind of an industrial part of town, a little bit of a tough neighborhood. It's a nice, big, beautiful facility. Lots of cool cars there. Saw the Daytona Cobra.
Okay.
Willie T was there, was being interviewed. I was just kind of left Baltimore, took a train to Philly, checked into the hotel, got in an Uber. It's all kind of a blur. But I went up there with Willie.
Yeah.
And hung out for a little bit.
How's Willie doing?
Willie's Willie. Willie's doing great.
He's always having a good time.
He's always having a good time. So I went up there with Willie. I sat with Dr. Simeon, saw some of his cool pieces. I think Max Apata can find it. I think he had a Ferrari 250 LM. That
doctor's doing well.
We've talked about. I've always talked about. I thought that car was undervalued.
Yeah.
8 or 10 years ago, I had two cars that I thought were undervalued when they were $5 million, and that was basically the Ford GT40. Mm-hmm. I was like, these, they're $5, $6, $7 million. It's still too cheap. And the Ferrari 250s. I just thought those were $5, $6, $7 million. I still felt like they were undervalued. Both those cars are, all about the history, but they're both kind of in the barrier, $15 to $20 million now. They popped up.
Yeah.
Both those cars popped up pretty hard. I think his was a 63, and I think it ran Le Mans, and I think it may have won Le Mans, but the most expensive car on the planet is the one that won Le Mans outright. And I think that was the last Ferrari to win. But I don't know what it says, Max Apata, so you can...
It says a car just like this one won Le Mans, so I don't know if there's a car.
Oh, is that what it said? Yeah, I think Mike said it won Le Mans or something, but it was just like that one.
Mike's not up to speed with the finer details and the descriptions we find in auctions where they write three paragraphs about a Le Mans winning car, and then they're like, this is not that car, but it really, it qualified for Le Mans. And it
it was funny. I took note of it because I was like, I know a 250 or a 300, and they look the same. I know a 250 won Le Mans outright in like 63 or 64, somewhere in there.
65.
Chris, 65. And that was about it for Ferrari winning Le Mans outright. Yeah. Then it started the GT40 era, and then that led into the 917 Porsche, and then Porsche dominance and whatever. And that was the most expensive car on the planet. And
$100 million, you think?
Well, Bruce Canepa, I don't know if you could get it for $100 million, but over $100 million.
That's
his take. He would know. So when I saw this one and something about Le Mans, like, did they win back to back, or, you know, when did they, how'd this work or whatever? But that's just the 250 with race history. But
Began its racing career in 64, most notably at the Sebring 12 Hours, where it retired after catching on fire.
Mm.
And it's on loan from Luigi Canetti.
Not as good as winning Le Mans.
Not as outright. Good as
catching on fire at Sebring. Yeah. Not as good. But the car looks the same. The Daytona was there. They kind of rolled it up to where we were. My schedule was so crazy. I only had time to do a lap around the museum. I think I did one when I arrived and one when I was done with Willie, because Mike was in the back of the crowd pointing at his wristwatch at a certain point. Because
he was probably eating as well.
We had to get back and back to Philly and then go to Keswick outside of town and then do a show and blah, 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 blah. But good timing. Got to run into Willie and got to see the doctor and got to sort of run through the museum, which is really nice. It's much more spread out than, let's say, the Shelby Museum in Golden or outside of Denver, which is the most cars you're going to see in a condensed spot.
Yeah.
I mean, 10,000 square foot,
the value
or whatever they
per
have.
Capita in that room
per
is
square
very
foot.
High.
Yeah. Versus other places where there's a lot of breathing room, you know, from car to car. There might be 10 or 12 feet in between the displays versus, you know, if you open the door, you're going to ding the car next to you.
Yeah. It was good to be able to check that out, because I remember when we spoke to him, we had a good conversation and been curious about his museum. In Vegas, I went to Shelby American. They did a presentation and a little party at their place. And I went to the Bronco Off Rodeo and drove the new Bronco off road, did some rock climbing, some high speed, did like a 15-minute, like, all encompassing tour. And they kind of show you through the vehicle, sway bar disconnect and stuff. So, had a couple of other things going on out there other than just SEMA, which was good. Yeah, it was a good event. SEMA, by the way, kind of different lay of the land. Many exhibitors were not there. Aisles were a little bigger. Walking around, talking to people a little bit easier. But quite a few people not there, so exhibitors not there, so didn't have those conversations. Oh, also, I did take a quick little ride. The West Hall was the new West Hall. I think you walked around for a tour a while back. Going from like Central Hall or South Hall to the West Hall, they have the boring tunnels and the Teslas go underground. And I thought there would be a huge line being at SEMA, but there really wasn't. It's pretty efficient and interesting. You just kind of go down, like if you're going into a subway, and when you get down there, you see a couple Teslas kind of like pulled in and they're all kind of like making U-turns and going around in and out of this. The hole is not as big as you think, right? Like the boring tunnel hole. It kind of fits one lane.
Yeah.
It's like LED lit up and it changes colors. I just kept thinking that scene in Willy Wonka where we're on the boat and there's like all the wacky shit on the wall. I don't know why. It's extremely – it's very like scary part of that movie is like as a kid and whatever, like the chicken gets its head cut off or something. It felt a little like that but without all the weird shit on the walls. But – it was easy going from Central Hall after walking, you know, whatever, 7 miles a day, going from Central Hall to the West Hall. I just went outside, went underground, got in a Tesla, didn't wait in line. 2 minutes later, pop out of the ground over at West Hall and I walk right in. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, hopefully it's the future. I mean, I this is, you know, I don't know how far it spans. It may be an eighth of a mile or something like that.
I think 1.8 miles they took. Because there's three stops.
There's three stops.
Yeah, there's South Hall, Central Hall, and West Hall, which is under the street, and you got to cross the street and get to the other parking lot by the Marriott and the Spring Hill Suite. So, it's about 1.8 miles. Now, it works because it's super clean because it's Tesla. There's no emissions.
Right?
You know, if you...
Normally have big fans and stuff that to blow the exhaust out.
But, you know, and it's new and it's a novelty, so it's not like people are in there smoking and graffiti on the walls. And, and you know, it's a couple of nice Teslas. And it's an Uber ride, basically. It's free.
Mm-hmm.
They did it free, at least for the weekend. Maybe it's going to cost something at some point, but it was just free. And it's just – you just hop into the – you know, into a Tesla, and a guy's driving. He's like, hey, you know, welcome. Where would you like to go, West Hall or South Hall? Because I was in Central Hall.
So you can pop up in different spots?
Yes. There's just the three stops. But it works at the convention center, and mm-hmm. it's a very good real-world example, just an experiment of what's possible. It was interesting. It was interesting to do for sure. If you get out there, I recommend you just try it. It takes 2 minutes, but it's interesting.
All right, Jeff O'Neill is going to join us shortly to talk about. We talked to him at the Pebble Beach, out on the lawn, I think, for a moment or two.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of the. I was talking to you about it, and I think he was talking about, yeah, come on down to the Velocity Invitational. You can drive one of my cars. I was trying to think of the car. I think it's a. A vintage Trans Am car. Now that I'm looking at his run groups, I think it's a pony car, late 60s. I can't remember which one, but it sounded kind of intriguing to me. All right, let me tell you about Roman ED. Well, it's common. 52% of guys 40 to 70 experience some form of erectile dysfunction. Go to GetRoman.com/CarCast. Do it now. Speak to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional about erectile dysfunction and get $15 off your first month's treatment. ED treatment can help you reconnect with your partner and rediscover the joy of sex. Completely confidential and totally discreet. Get a free online evaluation, ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. No big logos or labels on packages. It ships to you free with two-day shipping. It's Roman, right, Matt?
Yeah, just go to GetRoman.com/CarCast today. And if you're prescribed, you get $15 off your first month of ED treatment. Make sure you're ready to have confidence and control this fall. Get Roman ready.
All right. Well, Sean's working on the 510 BRE over there, waiting for stuff from the plater. It's always waiting for the powder coater guy. He blamed you. He said, you've got some exotic gray that's taken too long over there, and somehow my cross member got caught up.
I'm not sure how one has to do with the other. Why can't he just deliver the cross member?
He blames you.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure he does.
And then the powder coater came and dropped off a bunch of his shit, of course, which has nothing to do with me. But I'm still
unless
still
you're doing your
cross
member the same gray as I'm doing my pieces.
Well, I wasn't hearing any of it, but he still blamed you, so you should know that. So
it sounds like my pieces are not done.
Listen, powder coater guys, plating guys. Mm-hmm. I've never heard. Maybe cable guys, like back when you needed cable.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're nice because people have cut the cable. But before, back in the day, you needed your cable.
Yeah.
It was like heroin. You know what I mean? You had nothing without that cable. You'd be watching Channel 13 and like local news.
Yeah,
you know?
All fuzzy.
Right, right. And the cable guys be like, maybe it'll be there between 7 and 5 p.m. See what kind of mood we're in. And you're like, okay, whatever. Thank you. I'll quit my job. I'll be standing.
I'm going to stay home. And then they're like, I couldn't make it today. You got to do it again tomorrow. You got to take another day off.
Their greatest one is when they give you the 11-hour window and then miss that day. And then you go, yeah, well, we'll come tomorrow. And then you go, okay, what time are you coming tomorrow? And they go, between 7 and 5 p.m. And you go, wait a minute. You don't get to have another huge window on a day you whiffed on. And their thing would always be like, all right, you don't want cable? And you'd be like, no, sorry. plater guys are kind of that way. Plater guy was like the powder coat guy. It's like, he's going to drop it off at the end of last week. Then he's going to drop it off at the beginning of this week. Then it's in never. All I do is I walk in every morning and go, where's my cross member for my 510? And like, he's not here. He didn't drop. He dropped off our stuff. Talk to Matt about his exotic gray. It's holding up the line.
Well, maybe it's done. I should go over there.
So
looking forward to it.
We'll keep you posted on that one. Let's see. So Jeff is not on with us yet, so we can talk about other subjects. Where'd you go drive the Bronco?
So Ford's doing these events. They in Vegas, they had like an old like Boy Scout camp, and they – I don't know if they bought it or rent it, but they put up a lot of their own like permanent signage. And there's driving events. It's kind of like
– Ford put up.
Ford did.
Their so, permanent signage.
And
yeah.
It's kind of like going to Speed Vegas or Bondurant School, but an off-road version. Mm-hmm. And they have multiple locations around the country, Texas, Moab, Vegas, a couple of other places. I went there for a media event, but they had a bunch of the Broncos there, and I haven't driven the Bronco yet. And they did a short, like it's a half day thing or a full day thing, and they're like, "We'll get you in like a we coursed out like a 15-minute version,
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of everything." So you jump in the Bronco with a co-driver, the Ford guy, and he's like, "Just go ahead and hit the gas, go as fast as you want." So you go as fast as you want through the dirt, and then you get. You slow down. He's like, here's the rock climbing area. Hit this button on the dash. Put it in rock climbing mode. Disconnect the front sway bar. Y'all just do it while you're just sitting there, and he's showing you all the buttons. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you've never done it before, you're climbing, and you're like, I didn't think it was going to be able to do it. And he's like, engage the sway bar, disconnect the sway bar, and you'll notice the difference. You'll see what's going on. You don't have as much traction. So, and then you go the high speed whoops and whatnot. So it was kind of fun to do, but they debuted the Bronco DR, Desert Racer. If you're familiar, Ford Performance released the Ford Cobra Jet. They make 50 of them, and it's a race-ready turnkey drag race vehicle. If you have an NHRA license and you want to go racing, you order the car, you buy it, you can slap some stickers on it, you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
The Bronco DR is sort of the off-road racer Baja version of that, and it was actually pretty cool. They rolled it out, incredible suspension. You know, doors don't open. You climb through the, you know, climb through the window. Big spare tires in the back, but they put the 5-liter V8 Coyote engine in it, so it sounded awesome. And it's a, you know, for $250,000, it's a turnkey Baja racer. They'll make 50 of them, and
250, you say?
Yeah, 250 grand, and it's ready to go. You know, you slap your stickers on it, your livery, your sponsors. Not street legal. The doors don't open. You got to climb through it. Like it's a racer, but it's interesting. I assume it doesn't go into a stock class because you have to make 5,000 regular cars to homologate the race car, and it's got the 5-liter Coyote engine, and a Bronco doesn't have a Coyote engine.
Right. Maybe they'll have their own class.
Maybe they will. I don't know that it's a spec racer. You know, it's not like, you know, the Ferrari Challenge. It's not quite that, but I guess it's going to go in some other modified class or unlimited class. I don't really know all the different classes, but it looked cool and it sounded. And then they brought up a vintage Bronco that was a Baja racer, and some of the racers they've done over this past year just in testing a Bronco Sport, another Bronco, and Von Gittin Jr. was there, and he had his rock crawler Bronco. And so it was a cool little event. That was on Monday, the day before the SEMA show opened.
But we should we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the we talked about the Toyota 2000s,
yeah,
and the one finishing out at 855 all in,
yeah.
I believe. I don't know if we gave the final number on the show last time, but there's another one up, was sitting about 655 a day or so ago, and I don't know what this means. If it means those cars are back, does it mean people are just scared of inflation and putting their money places? Is it, you know, I look at it as good news for the Japanese guys, because I don't know what segment has gone up more than the Japanese cars. Some of those Skylines from the early 90s, you know, topping out at 325K, you know.
So the white one was 850,000 was the ending price. So and I guess you got to add the 5,000
big. Right.
Yeah, so you're right, 855 on that. This other one has 2 days left. It's sitting at 655. Then we said the white one was something a little more unique. It was
a little bit, but I don't think it was a special story situation. I don't it didn't, whatever the story was, it didn't feel to me like it was going to add more than 50K to it, you know. All right, Jeff O'Neill is ready for us. Oh, I don't have to pop him up. He's here already. Jeff, can you hear us?
I sure can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good to speak to you again.
Hello.
Yeah, likewise.
The Velocity Invitational is the race. VelocityInvitational.com is where you can go for all the information you need. That's down at the WeatherTech Raceway in Laguna Seca. It's basically going on as you hear this. Jeff, let's talk about you and cars. And we know we spoke at Pebble Beach for a little while. I think you have a vintage Trans Am car. I think you have a few cars. So let's talk about some of your cars.
I do. I've got the Pernelli Jones 69 Boss Mustang that I was hoping you were going to come out and drive.
Yes. I have never been busier in my entire life than the last 4 weeks, where I have traveled every weekend and did every single goddamn show. So I just was screwed schedule wise, but you'll do it every year, right?
Absolutely. And the car, when you're ready, we're ready.
I would love to drive that car. You know, it is, the more you go to Laguna Seca and the more you watch the races, the more you start to filter down on the Trans Am series, because they're all so evenly matched, you know, horsepower, tires, everything's basically the same. Guys with too much horsepower, not quite enough tire, sliding those cars around out there. It's the funnest run group, I think, to watch out there. And it'd be so exciting to get in there with those guys. So what, I know you have what, 11 run groups going off?
We do. We've got everything from Formula One to early 1930s, and then all the way up to a number of exhibitions. We've got seven of the eight Ford GT LM cars that ran at Le Mans to go sort of retake the title from Ferrari again 50 years later. So we've got a lot of very cool stuff out here.
How many cars in total do you reckon are going to show up over the weekend?
We have about 200 registered. We had about 400 apply. But our criteria is it has to be a significant race car that raced in period without any modifications.
That's a substantial number. And I'll just kind of go off memory, and Matt will help us out. I think for the big granddaddy, the big Rose Bowl of Car Week, Laguna Seca, Rolex Historics, they get about 500 cars, or maybe they cut it off about
550.
Yeah. We've done a lot of B sedan races out there, 2.5 Trans Am, stuff like that. They've gotten, you know, they get 150, maybe 200. 200 cars is substantial. That's significant without being crowded. At 550, it gets a little crowded out there. You know, I do 50 cars in my run group.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit crowded. But 20, 25 cars, it's competitive, but much more comfortable.
Yeah, and what we've really tried to do, Adams, I want this to be a forum where guys aren't afraid to bring their cars out. So the driver here is we're trying to entertain drivers and families, which is kind of a new direction for auto racing in North America. We want to bring food and wine, and I don't want people to hesitate about bringing their wife or girlfriend or their kids. And by the way, any kid under 15 is free this weekend. So those making last minute plans, bring the kids, because we want to educate everybody. We're trying to give a forum to the guys with the great cars to show them, because I just have this fundamental belief. You never actually own these cars. You're simply the caretaker in between owners, and getting them on the track is just so fabulous. It's just so different than a static museum.
The event itself is sort of, the Quail meets Rolex Historics all in one venue. But you're saying anybody can show up and get tickets at the door just to watch?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We think we've got around 4,000 coming right now on Saturday, but there's still tickets available for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Is this something, you know, we've been to different events that were kind of off the Rolex Historic's calendar. We've been to Winter Speed Days at Laguna Seca. We've been to various Trans Am or 2.5 Trans Am races, B sedan races, and things like that. Is this going to be on the calendar somewhere around this date every year so we can kind of circle it on the calendar and plan on it like we do in preparation for the Rolex Historics every year?
Absolutely. This is already on the calendar for 2022 in October at Laguna Seca. And so, yes, so we are planning on making it an annual event.
Is this the maiden voyage?
No, we did an initial one at Sonoma Speedway.
Oh, Sonoma.
In 2019, we had a great turnout there. And then, of course, COVID hit. But this one has more cars, more folks, more entertainment, you know, everything from you can come out and watch races or you can drive a brand new take a Porsche Taycan electric vehicle for a test drive. So we're trying to make sure there's entertainment for everybody.
And, you know, the other thing that's nice is, you know, when you come in for car week, it's kind of good luck finding a hotel room, good luck getting a restaurant reservation. I mean, the town just fills up with people because there's 19 events going on at the same time. But in this situation, you can enjoy the track and probably not sit in traffic all the way back to the hotel and go out and make a reservation for a restaurant that night without having to worry about getting bumped. So that's nice. I love it. Let's talk about Goodwood in that we've been to Goodwood a few times. We've been to the Festival of Speed. We've been to the Hill Climb a few times. I've participated in the Hill Climb a few times. And every time we go, someone's got to kind of bring that out here.
And a lot of people have pitched the idea, but haven't really pulled it off.
Yeah, but we don't want so much, you know, the kind of swap meet at the Pomona Fairgrounds and that kind of stuff. We're looking for a little more of what they got at Goodwood, which is some good wine, some good food, little higher end clientele. And it's sort of, for the lack of a better term, classier experience. And have you looked at Goodwood? Have you thought, you know, this could be a Goodwood North American version or at least shades of it?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I've raced. I've done the members meeting. I've done the revival over there. They bring amazing cars. But most importantly, they bring entertainment for all the guests that come. And I mean, the Duke of Richmond has done an amazing job, and it is the premier event in the world. And we have nothing that even compares to that in North America. And, you know, our goal here is to do, I mean, we're not going to replicate exactly what Lord March does, but we can bring a much more elevated experience. And so that's why we brought wines, and we've got spirit booths, and you can taste and have spectacular food. And if you don't feel like watching a race, you can step back and step into the Sip and Savor Pavilion and close the doors and take a break. And we've got a sparkling wine pavilion. If you want to watch the start of the race and swirl a glass of Robert Hall sparkling wine, you can do that. So this is about entertainment. And I think everybody in North America thinks we're running races. And yes, the races are very competitive. The drivers are fast and good. But at the end of the day, it's about more than that. And it's to us, it's about showing the evolution of technology. And, you know, so whether it's new EV cars, whether it's, you know, autonomous driving vehicles, we want to bring it all. So we think that's the way to show spectators a great time.
Let's talk about, you said you have the Parnelli Jones 69 Trans Am Mustang.
Yep, still waiting. I still don't have a driver for it this weekend.
I love that. I love that car so much. When did you get that car?
I bought that car about 3 years ago, three and a half years ago. And it was very competitive in period. Parnelli Jones drove it in the first race. And then George Fulmer drove it for the rest of the season. But
what else?
Those are fun cars to drive. Let me tell you, it's different than what you've been driving.
What do you what else do you have in your collection?
I bought one of the 2016 Ford GT Le Mans car, the second place winner in 2017.
Nice.
I bought that from the factory, which is, again, I mentioned earlier, we have 7 of 8 of those. I've got a Maserati Birdcage, which is from 1960. You know, that car back in the day ran at Nürburgring and Silverstone and, you know, all the great tracks. You know, and that one's notable simply because they call it a birdcage because they have the lightweight, very tiny tubular frame chassis around
it. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to look very hard to see it. You just walk up to that car and you can see why it's called the birdcage. You don't have to get your head under it. What else do you have?
Well, the most important car I'm going to drive I don't own, but a terrific guy named Tom Price, who owns a 250 GTO, 1962 250 GTO, has asked me to race it at the Velocity Invitational. And so we'll have two of the most valuable cars in the world out there racing head to head in the GT class.
Wow, you got some good friends there.
You got, so you have two GTOs in that race?
We do. We got two GTOs. We've got a couple of Ferrari competition short wheelbases. I mean, we've really put together an amazing collection of very rare Ferraris that people can come up, walk right up to them, talk to the owners. It's pretty cool.
Where do you think? And look, we're rooting for you because we love these events, especially where you don't have to trailer your car to Road Atlanta or Watkins Glen or something. It's nice
or
to
fly it across the world.
Or fly it. Yeah, they flew my car to Goodwood. But so, you know, what is it? Lufkult, or am I saying that right?
Lufkult.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen that grow exponentially in the last few years. Like, it's really, there's an appetite for this. Are you kind of following their model? Where do you see yourself in 5 years, you know?
Well, ultimately, this is a total passion project because I love historic cars. I love new technology. So I love all of that. The problem is there's nobody that's showcasing it in North America. So that's the goal. I can't keep subsidizing this without the support of sponsors as we go down the road. So this is our second event. We've got a third one planned next year. And you know, we think we have tremendous momentum going behind it. So it's going to be all about bringing in spectators, sponsors that want to come bring their VIP guests to, you know, not only look at an old car, but look at what new technology is offered.
Well, I guarantee we will be there next year. Is the date set for next year already?
It is. I believe it's October 11th.
We will be there. I will be honored to drive that Trans Am if
we'd love to have you there,
and we'll bring something cool. We can kind of figure out what you might want to see there for us to bring as well. But I'm excited tonight. Well, I guess we'll probably run into you at Pebble Beach before we see you again in October, if you're going to be around the track and that kind of stuff. So, Jeff O'Neill, I'm glad we ran into you, and let me give a plug out. VelocityInvitational.com is where you go. Just to anyone who's listening, you've been to all the car shows, you've seen a lot of races on TV and stuff. I don't think you can fully appreciate this unless you go out there and really experience it and see these cars. And then just, again, the setting. You know, the thing about the Rolex Historics is it's great, but there's 100,000 people there. You got to wait in line. You know what I mean? It's tough. Well, tough to use the bathroom.
This is going on now. Yeah. So if you're listening and you're in the area, this is a nice little, you know, swing over to the track and I guess buy a ticket at the door and check this out. And by all means, post pictures and stuff. We can't wait to see it.
Yeah, please.
Well, we can't wait. Nice to have you all here. We look forward to continuing this. And anybody that's out there that wants to come by this weekend, we'll give you a great show, great food, great wine, great spirits, and a few laughs.
Thank you, Jeff O'Neill. Appreciate it. Good seeing you again.
Thanks, Adam. Here you go.
All right.
Do you think the Duke of Richmond knows what the Pomona swap meet is? Do you think he's ever worn shorts?
No. He probably said good day.
He said good day. Let me tell you guys about
VW and Corvette parts.
The Good Guys Rod and Custom Association is coming to Scottsdale, Arizona. It's the 24th Speedway Motors Southwest Nationals presented by Barrett Jackson at Westworld of Scottsdale. It's November 19th through the 21st. There's over 3,000 classic cars and trucks on display with an autocross, a burnout competition, and vintage dragster exhibition. There's a huge swap meet, hundreds of cars for sale as well. You'll probably see the Duke of Richmond over there. There's fun for the whole family. There's live entertainment. There's a demolition derby and a free kids zone. Tickets are on sale now at goodguys.com. That's good-guys.com. Free admission for kids 6 and under. Use promo code CARCAST for $5 off your spectator ticket. So it's goodguys.com, promo code CARCAST.
All right. What else is
that? Sounds like a great event that he's got going on. And you know, I wish we could make it up there. But also kind of like I get like end of the year and the weather is great, but there's so much that gets packed on. Just coming back from SEMA. Next week is LA Auto Show and all the press events surrounding it. So I think maybe a little earlier in October, like he mentioned, next year would be a little better. I know you're going to be like, you know, up there in August. Come back, take a little break, pop back up there in October.
Yeah, as long as we can get it on the calendar. I've been out of town 3 weekends in a row doing shows. I've just never been. I think I put together like 25 straight days of work or something. So it's just been insane. But driving that Parnelli Jones Mustang, one of the prettiest ones. I think that's the kind of burgundy and black one. And not the school bus yellow one.
I thought Parnelli Jones was the orange, but then he said Fulmer, and I thought Fulmer was the black.
Well, maybe we can find a picture. It is the red and black one.
See, that's
right?
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I mean, they're both great.
They're both great.
What was Jim Farley racing? He was racing the school bus yellow. He was racing the orange car.
Yeah,
but I forgot who's. I forgot the history on that car.
I don't know. The thing about the vintage Trans Am is it's a really cool class. Some of the cars look better than others. The notchback Mustangs don't look that great in race trim, but the fastbacks look really cool. And then there's the whole kind of Dodge version of this, and then there's the whole AMX version, or AMC or whatever, AMX Gremlins, but God, what are they? Javelin. Bruce Canepa has a Javelin. They had the whole red, white, and blue scheme. Like there's some cool pieces out there,
and the Mustang. Jim Farley was racing one, and then Chip Connor had one.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot the drivers of those cars, but they look the same. And that's where some confusion we talked about.
Yes.
Let me tell you guys about Geico. Whether you own your home or rent your home, we know it can be a lot of hard work. But you know, it's easy. It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
All right. You can check out our Chassis 687 channel on Pluto TV. We got a lot of automotive stuff there. We got Uppity and Shelby American, 24-Hour War, the Niki Lauda story up there. It's all free. You just go to Pluto TV and check it out. I don't know why you wouldn't. If you're listening to us, there's lots of good stuff. You got Going Racing with Adam Carolla there. You can see me and Matt and all the cool places we go.
Don't we have a second season coming out sometime in November?
Yeah.
November, December?
We got to check into that.
Yeah.
You go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. What do you got, Motor Raider?
A bunch of photos and stuff coming up from the SEMA show. If you guys want to check that out, you can follow me at Moderator on social media. Big galleries on Facebook and Instagram.
So, till next time. Adam Kroll for Jeff O'Neill and Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
RockAuto.com. Why spend 30 to 50%, even 100% more for the same parts that a chain store or dealership might have? Why spend so much there? Why not go to RockAuto.com? It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, everything from engine control modules to brakes to motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks delivered direct to your door. Go to rockauto.com. See all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Corolla in the How Did You Hear About Us? So that is Corolla, C-A-R-O-L-L-A, in the How Did You Hear About Us box. So they know we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.